Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
What's going on, guys? It's your homeboy T-Pain, a.k.a. your girlfriend's boyfriend. Have you had a chance to listen to the new podcast? Now, I want you to stop what you're doing right now and jump over to my new show, the Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, with me, T-Pain. Every week, we're talking to the hottest guests from the worlds of music, entertainment, comedy, gaming, and so much more. And they're all stopping by to shoot the show. They hang out. They enjoy some custom drinks. Did you know every guest on my show has a drink named after them?
This is the Mild Paralysis.
Yeah. And the name of the drink is the Jazzy Fizzle.
Oh, yeah. You're going to make me cry. Yeah. Tell me, we got a goddamn drink for you, and it's called the Mother
Butterscotch.
No, you got to say it like this. Butterscotch.
Listen. On my show, we pretty much have some of the most interesting conversations you ever heard. We just kind of chill, you know what I'm saying? Listen and subscribe to the Nappy Boy Radio Podcast with new episodes every Thursday on Apple Music and wherever you get your podcasts at.
Well, what do we talk about in this episode?
We're going to talk a little bit about Spiker, maybe Spiker making a comeback. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about James Bond cars.
Yeah, blow the lid off that. Breaking news. First, there's Geico. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com. Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Welcome to CarCast, Matt Carolla. That's Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea, over there.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Something for us to look up. I see our rundown here. Lots of interesting stuff coming up for us to talk about today. One is the Sean at the other shop just informed me that there was some 911, 935 Apple car that was at some auction somewhere.
This is the same one. This is the same one we've been talking about for a while that doesn't have the center locks and... You know, that we've seen this one around.
But didn't that one sell?
I don't know it was sold. It was listed in, like, DuPont Registry or something. And I don't know if it actually sold or if it did, if it's being sold again.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was some auction that he had not heard of, but maybe we can find it.
I don't know why this car, why the cars don't go to the right places.
Like, well, listen, I like startups and smaller companies and ma and pa and you know the little auctions and all that kind of stuff. But if you'd like to find out what your car is worth, like literally the street value, then you're going to have to take it to Amelia Island. You're going to have to take it to Pebble Beach, or you just put it on Bring a Trailer and you just kind of let the chips fall where they may. And I feel like a lot of people go, no, I'm going to put it on this little obscure auction site and see if I can sell it. And then it doesn't sell. And then you go take it to Bring a Trailer and they go, nah, it's no good there.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's a part of me that always thinks, well, maybe they don't want to know. Because it kind of, look, I think you probably, several years ago, you could have said about Bring a Trailer, I was early money on this. I was like, it is the same car. I was early money. I was like, hey, man, if you got a Ferrari Daytona or a Gullwing, put on Bring a Trailer.
Right.
People know what a Gullwing is worth. It's not like the Gullwing goes for, 1-2, 1-3. 1350, yeah, whatever. You think it's going to stall out at 585? It's not gonna. I mean, it's going to be there. It's going, the audience knows. Now, again, 5 years ago, you could have argued with me, and people did, but I was early. I was like, just put it there. They right. know what it's worth. People will find it. And if somebody thinks they can get themselves a goal wing for 1-2 and not have to pay the VIG, then they'll do it.
Right, yeah.
And ostensibly, that's the way it's worked out. Now, there's a couple of oddball cars, race cars and one-offs and things like that, where you go, well, no one really knows what. Well, we don't really know. That is true. But we will find out if you put it on Bring a Trailer.
Right. And in those cases, and in this case of this Apple 935 car, you want to take it to the place with the most eyeballs. This isn't really the time to go with, you know, with the startup. I agree. I'm a fan of that as well. I dig it. But this car is just kind of weird enough. Like, don't you want to get the most amount of attention possible?
Well, the reality is I think you're better off taking a Daytona or the aforementioned Gullwing to a startup, because we know exactly what those cars are worth.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I agree with you on that for sure.
So it's at 40 grand.
With
24 hours to go. And the reserve on this car's got to be 350, 400 or something.
I mean, they were trying to ask somewhere in the 400 range for it before. I don't know if it was sold already and or if it's never been sold and this is the first time. But yeah, I mean, on one level, like, we're looking at the car going, hey, maybe this could be a bargain, but not if there's a reserve and it doesn't get anywhere near the reserve. All right. It does is, look, the reality is let's say that thing hits 125, it doesn't hit the reserve, and if it was something that somebody wanted, well, now you call over and go, all right, the market says it's 125.
Right.
You know, you wanted 300. You know, I've got 135, you know, or whatever. Like, right. where are we? What do you want to do?
Yeah. So, anyway, we wish it luck. I don't know what I can't remember what the motor is on that car.
Oh, I mean, it said, but I don't remember.
It's a turbo and everything. I just don't know if it's a full 935.
I don't think it
motor.
Is.
Motor. If it's a 935 motor, it's got a 3.8. It's got Carrillo rods. It's got,
Yeah,
it's kind of. I'm trying to think of what. I'd have to see a picture of the motor.
They say 700 horsepower, but transmission is a late model, like 996. It's probably.
It's definitely got a turbo on it. If it's
But it's probably a later model motor. I mean, the 935 motor. It's just so expensive that.
Yeah, a real 935 motor.
All the real 935 parts. Like, you've been down this road just looking at things like half shafts and things like that. Like, these aren't. You know, these aren't $3,000 pieces. They're you know, $35,000, $40,000 pieces.
Yeah. I'll tell you, though, the car looks great in the Apple livery.
The car looks great in the Apple livery, and it's a running, working car. And that car, because it's largely based off of, like, a late model shell and everything, just for fun, you could probably just drive it down the street. If the lights work, right? I mean, it's probably got a VIN number.
All right, so Spyker may be making a comeback.
So I thought this was kind of interesting because
I was early money on Spyker too.
And we've had a couple of conversations about Spyker in the past, you know, so many episodes or whatever. And it's tough to kind of follow along the ups and downs here, but you know, the Spyker that we were familiar with back in the day, maybe it was late 90s, early 2000s, early 2000s. The company went out of business, and then some investors came back, and that didn't work. And then these other investors came back, I want to say around 2020. Two guys from Russia, I believe, a banker and a racing team owner. Without a lot of details, apparently these guys tried to salvage it in 2020. Didn't really happen. They've been talking about it and coming up with a plan, and it sounds like they have a plan. Now, I would say, look, just just acquiring the assets and have an intention to build this car again is not enough. If we've learned anything, especially from all these startup companies, it's incredibly expensive and incredibly complex to build cars.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what they're saying is we're not reinventing the wheel. We're going back to the same sources, production line, everything to do what we were doing before with the intention of building initially the last spiker, that new one, the aileron or something like that, that was already done. So they're, and then they say, you know, there was designs and stuff for like a spiker SUV from years back.
Mm-hmm. I think they built one.
And I think they might have built one. And they're saying, we're going to do that. So starting from a clean sheet of paper, very expensive and time consuming. And I think their intention is to do Audi engines again.
I was about to ask. So a couple things. I wonder, excuse me, if the resurgence of the old Spyker popping up and getting $300,000, $350,000 is renewed some interest in some people.
I would say it has to.
I've always thought they're beautiful. But the other thing is as I was thinking about it, I was thinking about Spyker, and right before you said that, I was thinking about the Audi power plant, which is nice, but I still feel like people don't want to buy themselves a bespoke car and then pop the hood and see the engine that's in the Audi station wagon in there. Not that it's not a nice lump. Sorry.
Yeah.
But, and then I started thinking about other car companies who started with a standard lump and sort of made their way, not the guys who make the 911, not the, I want to say, I got Spyker in my head now, but I mean.
You were thinking Singer?
Singer.
Yeah.
Right. Singer and Spyker were in my head. You know, Singer evolved into their own power plant. And, I mean, they always had, you know, it was based on a 911 architecture and everything. But now it's like their own engine.
Yeah, they've
engine,
done so many
you know?
Things to it over the years that now they, you're right, they have their own kind of engine. That we saw.
Right, and I think people like that. I don't think people want to buy a really expensive Singer and see just a kind of standard power plant in there that might come in a stock Porsche. And I feel like at some point when you're doing your bespoke, you know, low production, whatever, we just don't want to pop it and see that Audi emblem back there.
Yeah.
You know, and at some point you're going to have to evolve into your own power plant.
Yeah.
Even if it's a dressed up version of the Audi that has your own plenum on top and castings and stuff.
I mean, there's been so many crossover, you know, examples of that, you know, Lotus using Toyota engines and Aston Martin using AMG V8s and then their own V12. Here's an interesting example. Pagani has his V12. It's made by AMG, but I don't believe that engine is available in anything else.
Well, I would kind of argue that AMG feels kind of bespoke.
That kind of makes it more special.
Yeah, you see, when they got the Lotus Evora, and it's got the V6 in it from the Toyota, and it's like, it's the one they have in the minivan.
Yeah.
it just feels a little, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it doesn't feel like a conversation you'd want to have.
Yeah. Except for the guy who's like, it's the only thing on that car that won't break.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a well-balanced car and stuff, but we remember when they came out.
And it's fun. It's
little,
fun to drive.
A little expensive, and it's powered by a Toyota V6, which is, again, it's probably not the same engine that's in a minivan, but it's a close cousin of that.
Right. And you can tune it, and you can change the cam cover to say Lotus on it or whatever. But, I don't know, with Spyker... With Spyker, you're kind of like, what if the company goes out of business again, you know, or you know, it is a kind of a limited car. It's going to be pretty special. Maybe there's a little bit of confidence knowing that the engine is serviceable. There are some people familiar with it.
Yeah.
You know, not to mention we have such an incredible catalog of crate engines available to us now, you know, just from Ford and GM, and now, you know, being things like...
Get a Coyote in that bad boy.
I mean, it would work, and you can do any power you want, if you think about... Yeah, you
know, we're looking at the new Spyder. I mean, it is a good-looking car.
Yeah, this is a cool-looking car, but, you know, having the Audi power plant makes it a little bit exotic, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's better than a GM crate motor. And it's better than the Toyota Evora,
right?
You know, the motor. It's good. It's fine. No, all I'm saying is in success, if you keep moving along, you're going to have to evolve into your own power plant.
Yeah,
that's all.
Is there a power plant that you think would benefit the car? Because we're talking about. An example would be, hey, getting a car with Recaro seats or Brembo brakes was like, it was cool to have that. Mm-hmm. And now we can get that in a Focus RS, mm-hmm. right? And that makes the Focus RS cool because now you're saying, oh, you get this badass engine in here, right? Mm-hmm. If this had an engine, I don't know, had the Lamborghini 10-cylinder or, you know, speaking of Audi engines, we're talking about, yeah, you can get the same engine in your, you know, in your A5 or something, but what if it had the V10 from the R8?
Yeah, that would be nice. Even the aforementioned AMG would be a nice power plant.
So
I don't know what the
version.
Power plant is for this,
this
thing,
a
Chris.
V8? It's a V8.
Yeah, they may not have the room for V10.
I believe it's the 4.2 liter V8.
Audi sourced V8.
Yeah, they might end up doing the V6 because now Audi has some high power V6s, which are probably more available and
turbo
reliable. Yeah,
yeah, I could do a V6 in there if it was twin turbo, you know, sort of like the Ford GT.
But back in the
Jag 220.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Back in like 2009 when Spyker was planning new cars, I think even the SUV. The thought was the Audi V12, which I don't even think they have a V12 anymore. But at the time, they were like, that would make it cool, right? Mm-hmm. Have the big V12 in there. But I don't know. Like, as the motors have gone smaller, right? Any crazy supercar that had a V12 is getting eights, and anything that had eights is getting sixes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the fastest Porsche Caymans and the Lamborghini Urus, those are turbo V8 engines, right? You'd expect big 12s or twin turbo 12s in there, you know, but now they're eights. And, you know, the M's and the S's of the world were, you know, which were normally eights, you know, now they're getting to sixes. They were sixes, they were eights, now they're back to sixes. And, you know, so I don't know that the V12 in that vehicle would be a huge selling point or just a potential maintenance nightmare going, there's a lot more stuff going on with 12 cylinders than with 8 or 6.
You know, it's a mid-engine architecture. I don't know how much room they have back there, and so V12 may be off the table.
But 12, I think they were thinking for the SUV.
Oh, sorry.
You know.
Are they going to... Did they ever, Chris, did they ever do an SUV? I swear I've seen a Spyker SUV.
Maybe at a...
If memory serves.
Yeah, maybe at an event or a car show or something. I'm certainly thinking, I don't know if it was just renderings, but they showed it. They showed it someplace. So I don't know if they built one or if they... I don't think it ever went into production.
Okay.
So if you're thinking there's like 10 of them out there, I don't know if there is.
No, I've never seen one.
They did something called the Spyker D8. It was a midsize luxury crossover SUV. We'll put up a picture of it.
Yeah, the D8, I think, is what they thought could have the 12-cylinder or an optional Audi 12-cylinder at the time, right?
Yeah, I seem to remember seeing it at a car show or pictures, or maybe we saw it Pebble Beach. Maybe it was out on the...
Yeah, something
not
like
out
that.
On the lawn, but in the rotunda up there.
Right.
There's a little area as you enter Pebble Beach where they display all the sort of one-off new cars or whatever, and that's probably where it would have popped up. But anyway, good. I like Spyker, and there's always room at the party for something cool and new.
And to your point, both these investors that are bankrolling this thing, they both owned Spykers, and they're like, we love this car. It's gone up in value. Obviously, they're like, we love the mechanic bits, and we love what was going on with the styling. And yeah. they're like, why?
Well, look, the moral of the story for anybody when it comes to the market, like if they're looking for something, an investment vehicle, and I don't mean, you know, necessarily just park it and forget it, but I just mean like you can drive it, you can have fun with it, but you just sort of look at it. As I always say, like the moral of the story is it's a two-way street. If you look at a car, like you look at those Spikers, like I did 10 years ago, and they were, I don't know, you could get them for 115 grand or something. And I was like, that's a lot of car. Look at that interior. I mean, just to do this interior seems like 80 grand.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Like it's a lot of aluminum and a lot of polished stainless and a lot of
diamond stitching.
Diamond everywhere. Yeah. Headliner, diamond. Everything diamond, you know. And I was like, seems like a lot of car for, you know, 100 grand, 120 right. grand. It's like a lot of car. If that's your take, at some point the market catches up. And then the other side of the street is when stuff gets hot and trendy and people are paying a lot for something that doesn't look like that much. And you go, it doesn't look like a lot of car for that much money. That'll even out too. So
right.
you kind of, you know, on the lower end, it's like the 928s are that way now. Like I'd been looking at those things for years going, that's a lot of car for $24,000.
Yeah.
Like they were cheap. They were 18 grand. They were well under 30. Look, like that's a lot of car for that money. So if you ever have that sort of impulse, like that's a lot of car for that money, follow it.
Yeah.
The market will usually come around.
Right. Well, the flip side of that coin is Bear Jackson is coming up soon. I'm excited to go because we've been doing so much news about EVs that I said on the show with Goldberg as well. It's like I'm excited to go back to an event that's got gas engine cars everywhere.
Right.
And one of the cars that they have there is a Grand National, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not really a lot of car. But this is where the story comes into play. Somebody ordered the very last Grand National ever, ordered it from the factory. And at one point they were like, oh, it's going to end up in a museum. He's like, no, I want it. This guy and his wife ordered the car. They went there when it was being built.
In 1988 or something?
Yeah, and this is what changes the story because they went there and the factory kind of welcomed them and put on a party for them, and they saw the car come down the assembly line, and builders and stuff were signing it, and the executives, and congratulations, and now it made it into a unique car because it's got all of this stuff on it, right?
Right, just the last Grand National.
Photographed, documented. This couple got the car, brought it home, I think to Florida. He built an addition for the house to put the car in it on display. Fast forward to now, it's got 30 miles on it.
Wow.
And they're expecting north of $500,000.
Really?
Yeah, and it's not a GNX. The GNX is the rare, a little bit more horsepower. This is the regular Grand National. Mm-hmm. But just a really well-documented last one ever. 30 miles on it. Didn't enjoy it much, at least behind the wheel.
There's a couple. Is a Kissimmee or something coming up? There's a couple auctions that are coming up that with some pretty good cars.
Yeah.
In there. I don't know if Chris can look it up. There's also...
Yeah, it's coming up January 6th through 16th.
Yeah.
I saw Gullwings coming up. I think Barrett has a Gullwing and somebody else has a Gullwing, and which is interesting because we talk about how they've sort of leveled and stayed, and it's like you know what it's going to cost, but the collector car market is still so hot right now. I wonder if you do have a Gullwing, is now the time to try to move it. I mean, do you make 100 grand? Do you make 300 grand? Do you think they're going to jump to the 1.5 mark, or you think they're going to stay where they stay?
I think because of the economy, they're just going to keep going up. There's a racing Corvette that's got a ton of miles on it.
Or Meekum.
Meekum. Sorry. There's a Shelby 350R that has a very high, it's a prototype. It's got a very high reserve. I think it's like estimates like 3.5 to 4.
So oh, 3.7 to 4. Wow.
3.7 to 4. That's a lot for an R, but I guess it's the prototype. Always said that's a lot of car. They made a few of them. That's a good investment. I've been talking about those cars for a long time. I guess it's that it's the only one, or it's a, that it's the first one. But they're starting to get some big cars over there at Mecum.
Yeah.
And I think the New World Order is, look, everyone's got a computer, everyone's got a phone. If you're in the market for a Gullwing or in the market for a Ferrari F40 or whatever it is, you'll find it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chris, scroll down to that Gullwing that was on the right side of the page. There was the Roadster, and then a little further down. Just see what the reserve is on that one. 1.7 to 2.
Whoa. Now, sometimes there's things like it's got the steel wheels on or whatever. It's aluminum bodied one or something. And you can see if there's something special about that car. But that's a pop. That's a big
pop. A big jump.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Unless, again, unless it's the aluminum bodied or the something, you know, where they made a much fewer number of those vehicles. But that's still, you're not used to seeing Gullwings that are 1.7 to 2. You don't see the two often.
Right. But every Gullwing that ends up at auction says 1.5 and goes for 1.50, 1.2.
It's not as bad as the Daytona, which says, 7 to 9, and it stalls out at 5.35, which it does every time. But, I think the Gullwings are popping, although there's a Gullwing at every auction every day, which is always weird. They found, Chris, there's a story that somebody tweeted me, which is they found the James Bond DB5, like the original one that was stolen. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear that yet.
Somebody just tweeted me that. They think it's worth $25 million. It was one of the original cars. I don't know if they had a backup car or the hero car, whatever it was, but it was the original DB5 Bond. And I know one sold at auction a couple of years ago for $18 million or $14 million or something pretty damn expensive. I think that was a recent one, but, they found it, and I think they found it in Dubai.
Yeah.
And I've said this many times when they're like, "Where is James Dean's 550 Spider?" Yeah. I'm like, "Check Dubai. It's not in Florida. It's somewhere in some bunker somewhere where they have some money. It's not here. It's not in Canada. It's in the Middle East." Yeah. Sorry.
So it was missing for a quarter of a century. It was he famously used it in Goldfinger and Thunderball, and then mysteriously vanished from a secure hangar at Florida's airport in Boca Raton back in the late 90s. And then it was found by Art Recovery International, which specializes in locating lost or stolen luxury items. And they found it in a, quote, private setting in the Middle East, but didn't give an exact location. Confirmed to be the vehicle with the original chassis number and not one of the two replicas built for publicity or the action example used for long shots.
Ah, so there was another one used for long shots. But then what was the one that sold at auction?
So auction was 2019.
Yeah.
6.4 million.
Oh, 6.4. So it was much lower than I thought. But what was that one then? If it wasn't, if they built another one for another Bond movie?
Wait,
I guess
this one we saw.
Yeah,
this one we saw was this the car? Or was this like a tribute car?
Oh, this is a tribute. This is a tribute car.
Yeah, this was because we looked now, at
not
like,
a well. Sorry, not a tribute car. Okay, there's this thing going on where Jaguar gets a cup, builds 6 lightweight XKR, whatever original back at the factory things, right? Mm-hmm. And Aston Martin. So there's a, so the 935 Apple car, that's a tribute car built in Florida by a dude, right?
Yeah.
But there's this new thing going on where these heritage legacy companies are building their own, getting out the old wooden bucks,
yeah,
and building them back to how they were. So it's a new version of an old car, right?
Yeah.
Jag did this.
The XKSS, they did a handful of those. Yeah.
They did the lightweight, whatever. They did like six of them or something.
Yeah.
And now if you could get one of those, it was $1 million. But mm-hmm. I think one sold recently for 1.3 or something. I think so. It's a valuable car. It's not the car.
Right.
It's a version of
it. It's a continuation car?
Yeah. I mean, it's built by the factory.
Right. And they, you know, because there's always a story like with the XKS, is like, well, these are the, you know, these are the four missing VIN numbers that we never got to produce.
Right.
And we're
going to
use those.
Yeah. They do the best they can to create the veneer of authenticity. And it's not bullshit. It's like there was a fire in the factory.
Yeah.
We never built the last six cars. We're going to continue the VIN number for the last six cars. Mm-hmm. That's how they do it. We have the original bucks and whatever that thing is. You know, the son of the guy who did the interior is going to do this interior. You know, it's a lot of sort of tenuous connections to the past.
Yeah.
But they build a beautiful vehicle and it's worth a lot.
I kind of like them as well because it has a little bit more than just it has a lot more than a tribute car or a clone car. And it actually has something a little special because now it has a fully documented story, right? And the build quality of it is usually better than the old restored cars.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're like, this is a really nice car.
Yeah, I'm curious. One of those did sell recently, one of those continuation Jags.
The Jags?
It was the lightweight XK whatever. Yeah. That sold. We can try to find that. You have the DB5 history, Max?
Yeah. Brenner? So after the movie, it was sold to a collector, and the guy they took out all the like the spy features and gadgets, and then eventually after that, it was sold to another guy who put the gadgets back in. He bought it at Sotheby's, New York, in '86 for $250,000. And would take it around to various car shows and bond events. And then he's the one that it was stolen from him in '97. And the insurance company paid out a reported $4.2 million.
In '97?
Yeah.
It's a tidy profit from $250,000 to $4.whatever.
Yeah, paid $4.2 million and offered $100,000 as a reward for information on the location.
Mm-hmm.
And so Art Recovery International is giving the current possessor an opportunity to come forward voluntarily first before they take further action.
They have it at $24.2 million or something like that.
It's estimated to be worth around $25 million right now.
First of all, that's the best move ever. Go now that we've been hired and we find cars, cough up the car. Or we will find it and suffer the consequences. But they're going, it's going to cost us $2 million to find the car. So first, let's just put the press release down that goes, you can walk away clean if you give up the car. We might even give you $100,000 for holding on to the stolen car and giving it up. Or now we've got to go to work.
Now, who owns the car if the insurance paid out?
Yeah, I think it's a little confusing because I don't know if that was the same. You're saying it's the same car. Oh, that was stolen. Yeah, I don't.
Then
I don't know.
Insurance company owns it.
Yeah, unless they, if this company bought it from the insurance company.
I don't know. You know, I don't know a ton about this field, and there's things that I could be coached up on. But you own a car, the car gets stolen, and the insurance company settles with you. To the tune of $4.2 million or whatever it is.
They have the title on that car,
they own the car.
Well,
they own it just like if your car's totaled, they would own it,
yeah.
I guess. So now they paid you what the current street value of the car was.
Right.
Now, so they own it. So then the question is when they find the car, who gets the car? And I would say the insurance company gets the car. Now, there's probably some provision where you could buy the car back from the first right of refusal or whatever it is. But it ain't $4.2 million in it.
No. I mean, look, if they think it's worth $24 million, $25 million, obviously they have no idea what the condition is. They're just doing the math on this thing.
But the one that was 6-7 was a continuation that was never in a Bond movie. Right. Is that what you're saying?
I believe it was. It wasn't. It was some sort of recreation. I don't know how much the factory was involved on that one, but it was just done.
It can't just be a recreation done by George Barris or something.
Right, it's
not $6.7 million. It has to be the factory certified, whatever.
Yeah.
But then the question still vexing me, Max Zapata. Well, actually, I'd like to know about the DB5 that sold for 6-7.
If it's Haggerty, is Haggerty going, yeah, that's why we hired this company? Maybe Haggerty's the one, or whatever, or Grundy is the one going, hey, we paid $4.2 million back in 97. These things are crazy. Let's hire this company to go find the car for us, because it's technically our car. And then, we'll see. We'll see the condition. Maybe we want to restore it. Maybe we're going to bring it to auction. Maybe we paid 4.2. Maybe we're going to make $20 million.
Well, when you're 4.2 out of pocket, and it would behoove you to spend several $100,000 to try to get that thing back, and also knowing what the street value is at $25 million.
Yeah.
That's pennies on the dollar.
$1 million restoration. But if you find it, the $1 million restoration is free money.
Well, we don't know. I mean, maybe it was in great shape and the guy parked it in a temperature controlled bunker somewhere.
Yeah, in Dubai.
Yeah, so in 2019, the DB5 sold for $6.4 million.
And what was the story on that?
So the ARM Sotheby's initially estimated that the car, one of only three surviving examples, would fetch $4 to $6 million. Outfitted with all the spy stuff, all working.
So it was an original example.
It was a movie car, obviously not the hero car. It was used for something. And then when we saw it was kind of a hero car, right?
Did it say Yeah, say what movie it was in?
It's saying Goldfinger, but I'm not seeing. Yeah, it says this particular vehicle is one of two built for 65 for a U.S. tour to promote Thunderball.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Those are always different.
But so it was built by the factory to promote the movie.
Yeah. Yes.
So right. A 64 DB5 actually used in the filming of Goldfinger sold for $4.6 million in 2010.
Yeah. It's a good – Yeah. That would have been a good investment.
And then this – kind of hybrid promotional car went for 6.4.
Yeah.
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 Well, the guy who bought the one in 2010 did well. Yeah. Now he's $25 million for that car. All right.
Well, he is now. This other
see
car
if we can find that Jag. There was a Jag XK.
Yeah, we see an XKSS continuation.
Let me see that car.
Yes.
No, not that car. I'm thinking of the XK Lightweight.
Okay, but what did this car go for? This car sold? Do we know what this?
Yeah, 1.9 or just under 2.
I think it was $2 million new. I could be wrong. I don't think it was $1
million. Look for an XK Lightweight continuation Jag. That's what I'm saying. Not the XKSS, but the XK Lightweight Coupe. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. They did a dock on it. They did a continuation on that car too. This would be a 60s car, Chris. And they one recently came up, and I can't remember where it came up. It was one of the auctions.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And I think those sold for about $1 million, and I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's not an XJ. I think it's an XK Lightweight is all I can of the race car. We've seen them over at Goodwood for sure.
Yeah.
And those things tore up the track. Is there any luck with that, Chris?
I'm thinking maybe XKE. Does that
XKE happen? Lightweight continuation. Yeah, XKE lightweight continuation factory. You know, factory continuation. Let's see if anything pops up on that. All right. Brea Improv, February 6th. Up there with Bill Shatner, everybody.
Yeah,
and then
love him.
Dennis Quaid as well.
I like Dennis Quaid as well. He's good.
Love Shatner, love Quaid.
You can get them both to sing for you. They both sing.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Quaid's kind of more like super into it.
Quaid's a really good musician.
Yeah,
we've seen him perform.
And he's like a country singer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very Americana.
Very Americana.
Love that guy.
And you can check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/AmCroll. Got all the stand-up there. It's all free. And you can go to dailywire.com/Am. You sign up for your membership and check out me and Leno and Riggle doing our Truth Yeller special. What do you got?
Just follow me at Moderator on social media, and we'll just keep you posted on things there.
Any luck, Max Pana?
Every time I look for any continuation, XKE, it takes me to a Jaguar E-type lightweight continuation. Does that sound?
I've been saying lightweight.
But you said, not in race trim. You said
no. It is. It's the lightweight. Haven't I been saying lightweight?
You haven't said lightweight, but the XK was confusing me because you were going
it's an
E-type.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's an E-type. It's not an XK.
So 1.7?
Yeah. Did it go? Is that what it sold for?
Yeah, sold for 1.7.
Oh, okay. So sorry. It's a Jag E-type. I don't know why it's not an XK, but it's an E-type lightweight continuation. There you
go.
And went for 1.7. When did it go for 1.7?
October.
Oh, so it just went for 1.7.
But
yeah.
I don't recall what they were made for.
Wait, October 2020. Okay. So what year is it? Okay. So I think they were, you could buy them for $1 million,
yeah.
But you'd have to get your name in.
Right.
And, you know, now they're 120.
Yeah. That's cool.
Sorry, 1.7. And they're cool pieces, and they'll just keep going up. Now, if you have an original one, it's worth $13 million or something like that.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got, Motorator?
That's it. We're done.
So until next time, I'm Prof. Matt, Motorator DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.